was to commence our week evening service by singing hymn number 947 to the tune Indulgence 547. Hymn number 947, Great God, to thee I'll make my griefs and sorrows known, and with a humble hope approach thy awful throne. Though by my sins deserving hell, I'll not despair, for who can tell? To thee, who by a word my drooping soul can cheer, and by thy spirit form thy glorious image there, my foes subdue, my fears dispel, I'll daily seek, for who can tell? Hymn number 947. The tune Indulgence 547.
Thank you. from his holy word in the book of the prophet Jeremiah. And read chapter 14. Jeremiah's prophecy, and reading together chapter 14. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the earth. Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languish. They are black unto the ground. The cry of Jerusalem is gone up, and their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. They came to the pits and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded, and covered their heads, because the ground is chapped, for there was no rain in the earth. The plowmen were ashamed. They covered their heads. Yea, the hind also calved in the field and forsook it, because there was no grass. And the wild asses did stand in the high places. They snuffed up the wind like dragons. Their eyes did fail, because there was no grass. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake. For our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. O the hope of Israel, the saviour thereof, in time of trouble, why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land, and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Why shouldest thou be as a man astonished, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not. Thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not restrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people, for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and an oblation, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you a short peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not, yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. The people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword, and they shall have none to bury them, their wives nor their sons nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness upon them. Therefore thou shalt say this word unto them, let mine eyes run down with tears night and day, and let them not cease. For the virgin daughter of my people is broken with a great breach, and with a very grievous blow. If I go forth into the field, then behold the slain with the sword. And if I enter into the city, then behold them that are sick with famine. Yea, both the prophet and the priest go out into the land that they know not. Hast thou only rejected Judah? Hath thy soul loathed Zion? Why hast thou thus smitten us thus, and there is no healing for us? We look for peace, and there is no good, and for the time of healing, and behold, in trouble. We acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness and the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against thee. Do not abhor us for thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. Remember, break not thy covenant with us. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Art not thou he, O Lord our God? Therefore we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all these things. And the Lord be pleased to bless to us the reading of that portion of his holy word, and help us now at the throne of grace. And thou most gracious and most merciful Lord God Almighty, that thrice holy God in heaven above, and we poor sinful worms on this earth, creatures of a day in no ways better than those that we bring of, leave us not to come with falsehood or lies, but to come upon mercy's ground, and pleading for thy great name's sake, Lord Jesus, to yet appear, we pray thee. Come in thy covenant love and mercy, we pray, and visit us with thee. Blessing of thy great salvation, oh, that we might venture once more to be with thee. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, to us, a sinner's gathering. Thou art gracious, thou art to steer us yet what we deserve, and to bring us upon praying ground, and to gather around thy word at this midweek service, seeking to turn aside from those busy scenes of our daily pathway, desiring that our hearts might be up unto thee. Lord, enabling us of thy grace to seek first thy kingdom and thy righteousness. For truly thou hast added the abundant blessings of providence that we are privileged to receive at thy good hand. And yet thou knowest we are not worthy the least of any of thy benefits toward us. So gracious thou art in the face of our light provocation, our own sin. Oh Lord, do not leave us then to abuse the good gifts of providence and thy gracious mercy toward us. But bring us with humble hearts and contrite spirits, we pray thee, that tremble at thy word, that we might continue at the throne of grace, continue pleading for thy great name's sake, Lord Jesus, that thou art in the heavens, making intercession as a great high priest of the house of God forever. Oh, may it be thee who is seen instead of us, as we would now approach unto thee. Do be pleased to plead our cause, we pray, as thine own. Oh, do bring forth that cry before the Father who thy merits and precious blood. We would venture upon that one sacrifice thou hast made, and plead the blessing of it forevermore. Might be washed from every sin and cleansed from all unrighteousness. Blessed with the gift of thy Spirit to indwell us, to Give us that right heart, O Lord, in a clean heart and right spirit. O Lord, do make known and right born in us the hope of glory, we pray thee. Causing us to flee unto thee for refuge, for help, and for mercy. Even that deserve wrath to come that we yet are spared. And, O Lord, do spirit yet we pray forever. O may there be the blood seed upon our doorpost and lintel, we pray, may we shelter in all thou art and all thou hast done. Lord Jesus, we pray thee. O Lord, do come then concerning the death of the Spirit's work in our hearts and minds. O Lord, give us those truths to remind us of what there is literally amongst our ancient people, and they turn from thee when their hearts are full of pride and of self. And then as the same light spirit is within us, but of thy grace that restrains the great depth of it from going its own way. Lord, we do need thy spirit's power to intervene, to bring those heavenly showers, to command that dew from heaven. O Lord, to indwell our hearts this evening and in our lives continually, and to bring us in the life of the Spirit, we pray thee. Those, O Lord, that lean upon thee, the beloved. Lord, you come then and give us that great exercise in our hearts concerning the dearth, we pray thee. Leave us not to hear that solemn word that we have made, O Lord, that there should not be prayer made for the people. Oh, might there yet be the grace of repentance given and a softened heart, O Lord, bestowed we have received from thee. That grace of confession that we have read of, the acknowledgement of the wickedness and the awfulness that we are as sinners. Gracious Lord, then do grant thy grace in humbling us under thy mighty hand, in enabling us to come to give glory unto thee and thankfulness. For all thy long suffering and sparing mercies given us in another day of time, in our life's river thread that is lengthened out to us. O Lord, we may continue in this way of faith, looking unto thee, leaning upon thee, Lord Jesus, feeling those wonders of thyself crucified, thine own sufferings and the precious blood of thy death, in the face of, O Lord, the vilest of sinners. Lord, you send thy spirit down, we pray then, and give us a heart to speak to thee. The grace of supplications to quiet our hearts in humble confession. To acknowledge our own spirit that is not astray, is turned away. But for thy returning us and causing us to return, it continues afar. Do draw us nigh, we pray. Lord, the prayer of the vestry draw us that we should run after thee, O Lord. Do hear in that petition, O Lord, that the drawings of thy love might bring us to run after thee, most gracious Lord, and flee unto thee, the refuge for sinners in the world. You might find that sheltering hiding place in thy wounded and riven side, we pray thee. Might be a flowing of that precious blood to cleanse us from all sin, we pray thee. O Lord, to bring that cleansing blessing into our hearts this evening as we gather before thee, that we should not be left under the pollution of our sins. O Lord, be given of thy spirit, we do beseech of thee. Let it help, O Lord, to worship thee. O Lord, do thou it for thy name's sake, we pray thee. Let us give no other ground to plead upon, but not thou art, Lord Jesus, and who thou art in heaven above, and what thou hast done and accomplished, and what thou yet reveal. O come, we do pray thee, glorify thy name in our midst this evening, we pray thee. Come as we have sung the hymn of the hope and shout of hope in thy mercy, O Lord. We can demand nothing of thee, thou that sovereign almighty God of heaven and of earth. And, oh, might we likewise have that in our hearts to bring before thee, Lord. They know it's what they would do. We deserve nothing, and O Lord, we deserve only thy wrath and anger to be cast out forevermore. To bring us with that hope in thy mercy, we pray thee. Yet be merciful and gracious to us, as thou art such a gracious God in thy long suffering and tender mercy. Do bring the power of it into our hearts, we pray, as we gather to worship thee. Each of us who have been able to gather here this evening, those who are listening, but that they bless thy word, give us the ear of faith and hear thy voice in it, we pray thee, thy truth, that We each need the teaching of the power of it, O Lord, to hear thy rod and new appoints it, to hear thy voice in chastening and teaching, in that fatherly love that thou hast declared in it, O Lord, concerning thy people, that thou art the God of thy people. O gracious Lord, do come in thy great mercy still, we pray thee. And so, Lord, give that help to meditate upon thee, Lord Jesus, we do beseech of thee, whose worthy name we seek to gather in, to plead the blessing of thy presence that was promised to revere in the such a gathering thy name. O Lord, in that desire for thy name to be glorified, thy name to be the subject of our cries and of our sighs. O gracious Lord, in thy mercy appear. Bend on thine ear toward us, we pray thee, that we bless this provision of thy house here. As each gathered from time to time, and those on the Lord say likewise, the families and little ones, and each one, O Lord, their nourish, be mindful of each one where they are this evening, and all those pathways they are found in. And in those in gathering, help the deacons here and the many neighbours, we pray, the one who particularly bears office, we pray, be a strength and helper for him in the continuing burden of the services we give us, each of the brother thy servant as he ministers in the word. Give that blessing in his neighbours as he travels hither and thither upon the waters of Zion, and he proclaims the gospel here also from time to time. Oh, may thy word go forth in power, we pray thee. Give us another blessing on thy truth, we give us each of thee. Oh, Lord, do sanctify our hearts and our souls in thy love and tender fear. And do show them those blessings from above. Oh, Lord, grant thy blessing and building up here to continue, we pray thee. Do shine forth into their midst with thy rich blessings, set souls at liberty, whether in whomsoever they will, to worship thee here, whether wandering ones to be returning ones, or others awakened to feel their right need from round about, or whomsoever they will, O Lord, give the gift of eternal life to come in a hunger and a thirsting after thee, knowing that desire that we would see thee, Lord Jesus. Bring us again this spirit, O Lord, to long to see thee, to hear thy voice. Reveal thyself as in our midst, we pray. Be the ordering and all unto us each, we pray thee. And to each cry and each sigh, Lord, we be pleased to give the word of assurance, the word of thy great love. Say unto our souls, I am thy salvation. Oh, command thy blessing, we do beseech of thee, even life forevermore. Lord, we know it's that great need of thy spirit to be present with us, to be with us in our lives, with that great influence upon us to keep us from our evil hearts and unbelief. The tempter's wicked ways and works that we are so prone to be deceived by, and drawn aside into, mercifully appear and deliver us each, we pray thee. And so, Lord, do fix our hearts and hopes upon thee, grant thy blessing then as the friends gather from time to time here, bless the word of God proclaimed in the everlasting gospel. In the preached word, the read word, we do beseech you, the hymns and the psalm, the petitions not lifted to thee in the prayer meetings, in the praying hearts of each, O Lord, thou knowest. Lord, draw near and be with each, and afflictions do give strength and restoring and healing and upholding, we pray thee. Strength thee for the day that thou hast promised. And thy good hand to bring thy great blessing, we pray thee. We shine upon thy side, thou knowest the dearth in our little cause of truth, and in the place of true religion generally, O Lord, thou knowest the things of truth have fallen in the streets, and Lord, those that seem to walk in thy fear have become a prey, a great target to the wicked ones, and all that seek to destroy thee and the things of thy word. Thy mercy yet appear, we do beseech thee, and revive thy work, that thy spirit be poured forth to quicken souls into life, that felt sense of their lost condition and their great need of thee, Lord Jesus, the Saviour. Touch the hearts of our fellow countrymen and women in our nation, we pray thee, turn their hearts to thee. The Lord God of our mercy, as we pray thee. The Lord God of our fathers, who has done so great things for us in past days. There's a stain of truth and righteousness in this present day, but a little remnant still. But then it's the cry and a sigh of travailing for souls, and longing for thy name to be glorified. what shall be thy way great and holy name, most gracious God, in all of these things. Knowest the rod of chastening that was laid upon us, and the solemnity of these times, leave us not, Lord, to become careless in them, we pray, and awaken us and stir us up, we do this patiently. Give us a heart, O Lord, that is pleading with thee for thine appearing. O do they revive thy work in the midst of the years, and the midst of the years make known. You must deserve wrath from them, and mercy we do beseech of thee. It's the hearts of those who rule over us in our authority, and the king upon the throne, the royal household, the prime minister of the cabinet, and all those matters to deal with in the laws of the land. Of course, to be overturning of any evil laws upon our statute book, and the promotion of the ways of evil. Years of any hearts yet, we pray in those places of authority and in this election year, we pray the good hands to appear yet, we give a speech of thee, and leave us not to further sink in the ways of evil, O Lord, we pray, and yet bring about those that shall fear thy name, encourage those who are in thy parliament to fear thee, and that speak, O Lord, with a loud voice concerning the things of God. May that voice be a voice in many hearts, we pray. A great influence we do beseech of thee, and the national church, and touch those in authority there, and lead them not to seek to know and do the will of man, but the will of God, the word of God. May there be those strengthened who fear thee amongst those that are in the national church yet, we pray thee. May there be yet that voice, O Lord, that is given to hear, do the blessing of thy truth. Lord, you help all thy laboring servants as they minister the gospel. And so that you likewise meet this evening and be in their midst also. And it's thy word thou art sending forth, we pray thee. You send out thy light and thy truth, that it may thee teach us and bring us unto thee. Lord, do draw near and open our eyes once more to see those wondrous things that are thy law. To behold thee, Lord Jesus, as one in our midst, fulfilling thine own word and promise, that there am I in the midst of them. And to us, as we sing thy worthy praises, O Lord, as we seek to continue looking unto thee, draw near in thy great mercies to forgive us of every sin, to blot out all that is sin in this, that what we ask may be according to thy will, and in that desire to be to thy glory. And Lord, do receive us graciously when we pray all of these things for thy great name's sake alone. Lord Jesus, we ask, Amen.
And the Lord helps them further, singing hymn number 788, to the tune St. George, 516. Number 788. Come, ye humble sinner train, souls for whom the Lamb was slain, cheerful let us raise our voice, we have reason to rejoice. Let us sing with saints in heaven, life restored and sin forgiven, glory and eternal Lord be to our incarnate God. Hymn number 788, to tune St. George, 516.
Come, ye humble
might look at the bedrock bottom, the ends of the earth, or which ends of a widow in Psalm 107. Certainly could he sink any lower. But what a mercy when the heart that sinks upon the ground end of a great rock of the everlasting name then of the Lord our God, of the name of the Jehovah God that he was to this people, in whose covenant promise was yet the blessing of a deliverer, one that should and must come and did come, one whom we look to now in the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, who teaches his own disciples then to ask for his own sake, to bring their cries not upon their merits as lost sinners, but upon himself as the perfect one, the eternal righteous one, the Son of the Highest that he is, the Son of God and the Son of Man, the Lamb of sacrifice that he is for them. And his name is a name that only God and man, but of the provision of mercy, of wrath-ending sacrifice, of propitiation that he is for lost sinners' sins, that these needful things would be done upon this name and for this cause. For our backslidings are many, we have sinned against thee. And there's an acknowledgement then in this petition before us of the past sins. They presently testify. Except the Lord blot them out, they stand to be judged eternally. And what then is continuing is a further turn your way, denying that we need the Lord in the way of mercy. And what a picture this is that the Spirit gives us in his word to show us the awfulness of sin, that we should not dismiss it as being something that never takes place anymore. But what God knows is the awful evil then of an unbelieving heart, a hardened heart of sinfulness against the Lord, of idolatry, of all manner of evil. And as we read in that former chapter 13, there how the prophet Jeremiah had to take his girdle and bury it then by the river Euphrates and come again and find it and realize it was marred. It was good for nothing as the Lord described it. And so it was a picture then to him as he was to speak to this people of Judah, that thereby the greatness of their pride, they also were good for nothing, they were not a profitable people. Their heart was bent then upon their unbelief, their idolatry and their sin. And one day we live in when the spirit then of pride is promoted and the things of evil are set on high. And the same spirit then to provoke the wrath of Almighty God. He is he who judges righteously in this matter. He was called those many, many times in the sending of his prophets, in giving us his word, the blessings of the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, the way of mercy, the gift of his spirit to proclaim that truth with power, to point a lost sinner to the finished work of the Lord Jesus. And yet the natural spirit is left in deadness and only rejects the good provision of the Lord. To view then that what the Lord does here then is ever right, is ever in the way of truth. And it is only upon that ground then the glory of his great name that he is to act and to bring about that time of refreshing. So may the Spirit then open our eyes in this word before us this evening, that there might be manna in this truth for our souls to likewise find the prayer in God's word that is upon bedrock, as he wants that lowest place, the sinking into the heart, the wondering how long we can sink. We have read of the psalmist then who pleaded this great matter concerning his sins, and he would have them all blotted out for his name's sake. For the name of the Lord, he feared the Lord would remember his sins of past days. He deserved to have them remembered and be judged by them, but oh, they might look at the goodness and mercy, and yet do something to blot them out for his name's sake. in that name of himself then as the Lord God Almighty, the Jehovah, the personal God of the people of Israel. Prayed unto them because, as we read at the end, Jeremiah had to plead, remember and break not thy covenant with us. Those wondrous things in the covenant of his grace and of his love. God gives us these two covenants to be revealed in his word. He speaks of the covenant of works that he gave in the law on Mount Sinai, or the declaring of the path of holiness, and the soul that keepeth those truths, walks and lives in them, will be blessed with gifts of righteousness, every benefit and good thing of the Lord. And yet those things declare to us how far short we come. And then afterward then, by this prophet later we read of this wondrous covenant of grace, David had it revealed to him in his day. He declares it as being as ordered in all things and sure of God's sure mercies that will follow. And the giving of his son and the greatest son to be born out of his loins in due time. But a purpose yet for love's sake to bring the Saviour in his dear son. Oh, how there was this fear in the heart then of Jeremiah and those that feared God, that there was forgetting them, this covenant blessing, I will be their God, they shall be my people, saith the Lord. And he who had spoken personally concerning being the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, and as in speaking to Moses, speaking that he was the God of his father and the God of those patriarchs, the God who had promised so much, would still be that God of that present people, the succeeding generation. The word before us in it is still found bound in this covenant blessing of the Lord. And yet the purpose of mercy and of love to reveal to each who fear his name, to those whom he gives that blessing new then to believe upon him and trust in him. That fulfilling of those commandments. Read off the reiteration of it, to keep those commandments, to not lose sight of them, to seek to walk in them, to be taught by God and the Word of God, that though we fail and come short, oh, that he would do it for us for his name's sake, and he would send his Spirit to write those things in our hearts. That right wonder in the covenant of blessing, it was not relying upon them to tell each other concerning these things, or to be the outward voice that they would have one to another, because the Lord knew there would be these times when these truths would not be spoken of, they would seem to be lost altogether. And yet there was a little remnant that remained who sought to walk in them. But the great blessing was the Spirit would enter into their hearts, that would be blessed with this feeling how these truths. We see the wonder then of the great God of heaven and of earth, who has such a great glory then in his name. The name which he notes, and the character, and the all the things that God is. The Trinity of persons, as we have revealed then in the Word of God, as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Loving Heavenly Father, the wondrous grace of a loving Son, the Holy Ghost to be the power and the Spirit then of the living God. And yet this one true Lord God Almighty, O Lord, that Jehovah denoted in that word Lord. Our iniquities testify against us, though there is nothing good for us to bring and plead and rest upon. And thy word is truth, and ever teach us how far off we are, and how great our need is, how awful our condemnation is, how needy our souls are. Yet the prayer of faith then, do thou it. There's something that needs to be done here. Oh, how the Lord brings us to those places where he shows us there is much to be done and that we cannot do it. We seek to strive to do what we can, we might say. And in the natural spirit then, the word goes out that if it becomes that bad, we'll have to pray about it. We'll do all that we can to put the matter right. And in that way, God has given us a spirit then to walk in His fear, to show us that we can do nothing of ourselves. We need God's help in all things. Every providential matter, we need His strength and help given us to sanctify even the things of common sense that He has given us to act rightly, and to do so in His fear, and to realise it is if the Lord will, we will do this or that, as He permits and strengthens us and upholds us, and it will have us live in that dependent way upon Him, acknowledging that we are helpless without the Lord. But what a mercy these are the things then that the Lord is to do, or as we may view them, that even not done. As they seem perhaps a crude expression is put here, the man that is in it. But there's a great humility here in Jeremiah's spirit in pleading this, and yet the wrestling of faith that he saw, as I believe Moses saw those many years before, that what shall become of thy great and holy name? What will indeed come become then of that glory that he has revealed in his great power, his great mercy of long suffering in bringing so much to pass in former days, in giving a blessing to a people that were so sorely afflicted. And now they're having warned them of so much, are bound up in those very sins that they were warned against. Oh, Lord, thou our iniquities testify against us. Though there be no ground then in ourselves that this should be so. Finally get the peace of the Lord to work sovereignly, as He only can and He only will. And brilliantly stir out of those words of opening Him, who can tell? Who can predict, who can say what the Lord will yet do? What a spirit was given to those Ninevites when Jonah preached those few truths, those few words, yet 40 days and they would have been overthrown. See, then they had heard about it, they had been cast into the sea, and surely he was dead. Now he was alive and proclaiming God's word. And so if there was such a great God, then they would stop that voyage and those mariners, and swallow up a man in the sea, and now he was alive. And ought they not to give heed to this message that God was sending through him? God has many ways then to work in the hearts of sinners. But we can be sure that all the men will be for His own name's sake, on that ground of His honour, His glory, that He in it all is glorified and magnified. And it shall be so when the Lord then turns about a captivity, a drought, a time of tracing. He waits to be great, He waits that perfect time when the matter then will be to His glory. There should not be any aspect here that man looks upon and says, well, it would have taken place anyway. The Lord would give over to our cries and our sighs. And because there has been much prayer, then there must be an answer. I mean, our cries come upon this same sovereign dependence, humble dependence upon the Lord. Yes, for the mercy we have, the path of prayer, and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to plead. But oh, may it not be a name that in emptiness, but a name in reality, in faith, in humility, in wonder. That such is the glory and the greatness of that name of the near Son of God. That He would come to this earth and suffer and die and shed His precious blood. Would hang upon Calvary's tree, be the one accursed and bear the curse. Then these awful sins of disobedience and of unbelief and of ourselves and all manner of evil, to give the rich blessings of His love. What a great foster is seen in this petition, and do thou it for thy name's sake. God ever looks down in that jealous way over the name of the Lord in this particular way concerning these that were named after Him as a part of the people of Israel. this time separated, but yet to be reunited after their captivities. In those times that be yet to come, the solemn reminder then of his judgments upon them in dividing their household of Solomon into these 10 and 2 tribes that were never found. But yet the Lord's covenant love not taken away. Thereby these things were coming to pass. They were not left to seemingly prosper them in the ways of wickedness, but to be brought up short to remember their sins. And yet the voice of these judges alone were not doing anything. As Solomon, there is many judgments and there is no voice in it that touches our heart. We become hardened to it, become used to it. You might say we're never any different, really. It's always been without much power of the Word of God, and can there be really a power in it? And how the Spirit can dismiss these things as being something that was once of relevance but is no more. Mercy, he gives that fear of the Lord in the heart to see what a relevance it is here in this wonder-working hand of Almighty God. It will give that tender fear then to all that God is and all that he alone can do. And thereby comes into this place of great humility then to plead the blessing of the Lord to work. You have a similar expression that really in the 119th Psalm, I believe it is, where the psalmist comes to that point where he says, it is time, Lord, for thee to work, for they have made void thy law. The wickedness of sinners, the continual spirit there of disbelief and rebellion, that has seemed to turn upside down and inside out what the purpose of God's teaching in his word is. For the mercy of the things of God cannot be made void, they cannot be left empty. And there is promise then that they shall prosper and work in God's hand and way. It is to show that we need more than the letter of the truth, we need this blessing of the Spirit of truth. Oh, may it be likewise in our heart, Lord, it is time for thee to work. As we have an account then of Moses having done those things that God had commanded him to do. And yet finding his case was still without prosperity. And then the Lord saying, now I will show you what I will do. Did not dismiss Moses from being his servant or Aaron. He said, let the carry the word and speak it against one who had such a hardened heart in the matter. And now the Lord would bring his purpose and his power into what was being done. Test their faith to still go with his word. And the Lord tests their faith concerning his word that is to be a blessing for his own name's sake. We are not to have any glory in the matter. We are to be ready to help us and poor and needy. But what a mercy is it, God, that does these things for poor lost sinners. The truth is for us then, they are left us of the Spirit to magnify all the more the glories of grace. Because it is of the Lord's goodness in the face of all the unfitness, unworthiness, and undeserving then rebellious sinners. It's a line the hymn that brings out this very worst of sinners who upon his grace rely. Oh, those who tremble to be amongst those very worst. Do not boast it. You realize sorely what a sort of matter our indwelling sin is. And defiled nature and spirit. Proneness then to misuse almost anything and have a hardened heart in it. But what a mercy here is a God then that though this be so, yet it is a purpose of power, as a way to show that blessing of sovereign grace shall over sin abound. He has the finished work of his dear Son to put in the midst of it all. The matter of reminding us of this song at the end, that we have to look at the cross of Christ, look to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, look to the sacrifice that he has made, look to that place of reconciliation, that place where the dear God-man bore the wrath and of holiness and of justice, or sinners, and dealt with the awfulness of the death and of sin, and blotted it out forever, paid the fullness of the price and the Redeemer's work that he is declared to be and has done, set the prisoners free. Oh, we do it for thy name's sake, dear Lord. Set our captive souls free. Give us that deliverance of the bondage, the affliction of sin. And you know, if the old nature dwells within us, permit it to be so. That we're not taken out of the world, but delivered from the evil thereof. Though it be so great, and though we fear it will overcome us, yet it does not overcome God and the grace of God. But he has those many things that he would do then for his name's sake, for our acts claims on many we have sinned against thee. Even with the light of truth and his shining with hope in his hearts, yet there is this confession then of our backslidings. We have the Lord sorely chastens his people. It's Jeremiah not to pray for them. Speak on the words of judgment. And as we follow in that next chapter, how he declares that though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out from my sight. Let them go forth. Seems like there was an awful generation of people here, and like those of you who were taken in the wilderness in unbelief. And there's 40 years of wandering. And yet there will be a time of mercy still for those amongst them. These things were done to show the awfulness and the desert then of sin. But there will be those characters then that are so honour of the Lord, those prophets of Moses and of Samuel, known for their spirit then of intercession, who would plead often on the behalf of the people before the Lord. The Lord speaks these solemn things. We do read in that chapter 15 then how the Lord would have them to be. Therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then I will bring thee again. And they shall stand before me, and if thou take the precious from the vial, they shall be as thy mouth, and let them return to me. Thee, but let them not return unto them. Oh, how we have the precious then separated from the vial. You have the sinner that professes to be saved by grace and to walk in the ways of evil, the ways of sin, to mar that profession, to disregard the glory of God that's given a hope in his mercy. The name of religion and it is so much defiled then in the ways of evil in our present time, much done in the name but little in the spirit. We've done in the fear of God. We've done in his truth and reality that it is for his name's sake, his glory's honour that is at stake. Oh, that which he saves and the soul from the burning lake, as I believe him how he puts it. Glory of his great name, of himself, who is Almighty God, the only true God, and the devil is ever present to attack the name of the Lord. It strikes it in the hearts of sinners. We have a hope in his mercy even. And he draws into solemn temptations and right evils. There should be a making a shipwreck in their faith and so forth. And he seeks in that cowardly way then to attack one of the Lord's little ones that there might be a victory of the Lord himself in it. And yet for the mercy of the Lord cannot be overthrown, neither his little ones. That they be subject to such sore temptations and trials, and yet be under the solemn chastisings of the Lord. Bring them with this returning cry then, O thou hope of Israel, O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, guilty, helpless, and unworthy as we are as sinners, do thou it for thy name's sake. To remind us then that the pleading of the Lord for mercy is because we acknowledge we are guilty. There is only a rightful pleading of that wonderful grace and mercy, us being spared what we justly deserve when we are brought to really feel that we then have no excuse that we can make. We are in every sense full of guilt and of shame. And even much more than that is known in others that may have to find a fault with us. But the Lord sees a greater fullness than that. And therefore, when a sense of our guilt we need to tremble under to plead that wonderful grace of mercy to be spared. We fear it is often a word that is used without the feeling sense of what it means. We wonder of it. But there should be, through God, a spirit then to yet deliver a soul because He would and set free from what that soul deserves. That we can be sure His Spirit will bring us to plead it in truth and righteousness as we are given the grace of His to know His convicting power, convincing of us, causing us to separate the precious from the vile, to separate them what we are in ourselves from the precious things of the Lord. We misuse not those things that He has given us. The hope of grace in our hearts. We seek to walk in His love and in His tender fear. Oh, the hope of Israel, the Saviour, you're in the time of trouble. Why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land, as a wayfaring man that treadeth aside to tarry for but a night? Oh, but a fleeting guest. Oh, the longing of the soul for His namesake, that He would tarry oft with us and longer. The blessings of His presence, this is intimating that He is Emmanuel, God with us, as the prophets have been given to tell of. And He must come to fulfill the name. And having come to fulfill it, He must reveal it, if even so He is. Presence of God with us, one to bring us in upon this ground of mercy, feeling our unfitness, our unworthiness, our helplessness before Him. The need for grace then of confession that the Spirit, John the speak of in the opening of his epistle, that if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, the truth is not in us. The need of the grace of supplication and confession. Oh, the confessing sinner, the pouring out of the heart before the Lord, the showing of that spirit of confession in fleeing from sin, from a serpent, as the hymn writer puts it, but seeking to be separate from what we are in our own self, and flee unto Him to cleave to Him alone. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that wonder that brings fellowship, reconciliation is the blood of His Son, the blood of the Son of God. Oh, the man Christ Jesus, the mediator. Do thou it for thy name's sake. Oh, the wondrous revelation then of the mercy of the Lord. The abounding of such grace that is on the ground of His great love, the great name of His, which is love. The feeding ground then for mercy, according to thy loving kindness, according to that tenderness of mercy, blot out the sin, the iniquity, as we read of it in Psalm 51 in David's experience, or the teaching that is in it. It is what He does then for poor lost sinners. He gives the law in the day of Moses, and speaking that law, He visits the iniquities then of the fathers of the children of the fourth generation. And yet He shows mercy to whom He would, to those that love Him and keep His commandments, to those who sorely feel the shortcoming of idolatrous. And you have the word of mercy put in between, as it were, those many commandments. It's only but the second commandment, I believe it is. But we read then, not only the righteous judgment, for such you keep them not, but the hope of mercy for those who love him. And that is signified by those then who are given this desire to turn from the way of evil, to loathe the sin of their hearts that break those commands. Here we are but an idolatrous soul in our own spirit, with many a graven image, many a God before the living Lord, and the need of himself to be first in all things, and longing to be sharp. Oh, the wonders then of his forgiving love and mercy. He showeth that mercy, he reveals it, uncovers it. There is the greater hope then set there as a light for us, that in the things that he does, is given us in hope then to ask for the blessing of it. What then is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, forever sheds that blessing that sinners might plead it in hope as being our needful blessing. To be the blessing then of our soul's salvation, and to give the sweet assurance of it, the divine certainty, and to give blessed be the spirit of renewings of that blessing. The oft remembering of him who has suffered for us and died for us. Oh, the thing he has done then to give us to remember this glory then of such a great name. A name which he has glorified. Oh, in laying in his life for sinners. To do those sins in remembrance of him. He surely has done this greatest thing in the work of salvation. He has this wonder-working power of his Spirit yet to do and still to do in the hearts of sinners, giving life to him he would. On this ground of his glory, his honour, and of the blessings of his dear Son, the way that he has made for sinners to be then accepted in him, the Beloved. The blood cleansing, the righteousness clothing, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, being the mediator, the Lamb of sacrifice, the great high priest, and one to preserve the soul in the place of life, the path of life, in the gift of this blessing of his life, giving them amongst them his people as he declares them to be living because he lives, that because he lives, they would live also. Where there was those dear disciples, now they had the proof that tested. They beheld him crucified. Surely where was that promise of life? There was no hope for them anymore. They were to see how much more they had a great hope then, because he who had died would now rise again. He would indeed have laid down his life to bear the punishment of their sin, would now be seen risen, conquering death, and would give them in the Lord's wonder-working hand then to know a conquering faith. Oh, do that for thy name's sake. So the name of the dear Saviour then is not only that wondrous name of the Lamb of sacrifice, and the witness then again for the guilty sinner, death has taken place already, and that we shouted beneath that evidence, the token of the blood, that he is our Passover, as we read in the Corinthians, Christ our Passover. One who has given his all and has witnessed in his own blood as wonders of Calvary. But also then the one that is a great high priest to plead, a conquering Lord, a living Saviour. After the order of Melchizedek, as a king and a priest, a king of righteousness, a king of peace. One with all truth and grace, and every needful blessing to give the resurrection power and faith for the living soul to be blessed with this conquering power then of faith in the risen Saviour. And we often fear the things of death that we rightly deserve to be swallowed up by. Yet what a wonder is in the gift of faith that beholds the risen Saviour. It mourns the sins that have caused him to suffer. It is in that sweet sense of beholding him and we are pierced, and brings that further godly sorrow in our hearts because of that sin that caused the piercing, the suffering, the death of the Son of God. The blessing he quite just in it now, liveth who is risen. What Peter writes of it is a lively hope by the resurrection. As sure then as he is alive, so must the soul be in the way of life. Is the soul in the deserving then of death yet be kept alive in hope? When him he was dealt with death and given this divine certainty then of life eternal, everlasting life, life there to end. Oh, do the it for thy name's sake. And the Spirit then is pleased to hear the cry of faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the conquering power of his resurrection, that upon the ground of his glory, his honour, his name's sake, is a desired blessing. We come then as unfit, unworthy, and helpless, begging the intervention of the Lord with the mighty in us, fixing our hearts and hopes upon him, giving us to see there is no other hope forever in the blood, the righteousness, the love of the dear Son of God. Because it is the purpose of the Father's love to bring us here under the blessed Spirit's unction and teaching and power. We shall hear then all that our souls need. We might plead on in that spirit and of grace of conquering faith to make the crooked things straight, the rough places plain, their present pathway. We might deal graciously with us in this time of the dearth spiritually. We may not be careless in it or indifferent, but be in that great concern, that continual cry for his appearing, his great mercy, his own rich blessing. Only he will bring then upon this same wonder, this same ground, for his own glory, his own honour, his own namesake. He reminded the people later in the words of Ezekiel the prophet in the captivity that the Lord giving a new heart, a new spirit to them would not do it in any other way but for his own namesake. He had pity for that name that they took into their captivity and defiled it amongst the heathen. How the Lord would be amongst them still, giving the gift of grace to him he would. And yet those were there who remained faithful, pleading for God's blessing. And so he would come out of the pity for this glory of his great name. And pity for my holy name's sake which he defiled. And again, the unfitness, the unworthiness of the guilty sinner. The wonder of the love of the Saviour, the love of a God who has his power and might to save, will and purpose, that the whole manner of evil rise up against, and the misuse of that time of chastening, the devil seemed to get much of an upper hand in it, but never so in the account of the Lord. He had his purpose then to reveal that he would give a new heart, a new spirit. Cleansing from their idols. And it would seem in the time after their returning, there was not this idolatry that once was amongst them. And the sins were there in the formalities and ways that they turned another way. But not in that outward way of being the idol of Baal and so forth that they had been so sorely chastened for. The Lord knows how to deal with those idols of their own hearts and souls, and to give us hope that he will cleanse us from them and not lead them to be amassed over us in a besetting sin that sinks us so low. But he does it all with his great wonder then of his namesake. And only we, the blessed spirit and the faith to plead in them before our God. Lord, there is so much that needs to be done that, oh, it must be upon this wonder and this ground of thyself, and to thy glory and to thine honour. Oh, do thou it. A few words to express the vitality of the longing of the soul. That the soul be given life. The soul be given the life blessing, the need for reviving the every man that is bending in their hearts desire for him. He truly knoweth it, and he will be inquired of us concerning. The devil will tell us not to ask again. But we've asked too many times already. But he gives us those parables to show that the persisting path of prayer is what he is pleased yet to bring us in. But he has set time to favour his desire. Yes, his blessings of everlasting love to reveal. And he will reveal them. And the Lord help us then to be found in the spirit that of confession, of hope, and of faith, and of godly fear, and wait there at the cross of Christ and plead all that that is for us as our only hope and blessing. Bless his word this evening and glorify his name. Forgive what is amiss. Amen.
The Lord help us to conclude by singing hymn number 158 to the tune Geneva 641. Number 158. Sweet the moments, rich in blessing, which before the cross I spend, life and health and peace possessing from the sinner's dying friend. May I sit forever viewing mercy's streams in streams of blood, precious drops my soul bedewing. Plead and claim my peace with God. Hymn the 158 to the tune Geneva, 641.
do. That's to show the word of thy truth gives that help to pray on. For thy great name's sake alone, we do beseech of thee. Our helper and keeper now as we come to the end of the time together, be blessed as we journey in verses as we go on our way. Bless those at home who disconnect from the service also. Give good night's rest in due time if it is thy will. They do guide us each, we pray, by thy counsel, and afterward receive it into thy glory. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God